Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Seminarians, a dialogue with students from the Pontifical College Josephinum, produced by AM 820 to encourage and inspire vocations to the religious life. And now, The Seminarians.
Welcome to The Seminarian Show. I'm PJ Brandymarty from the Diocese of Columbus. Joining me are Britt Taylor and Alfonso Gomez from the Diocese of Charlotte. Hello, brothers.
Hey, PJ.
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Doing well.
Excellent.
Doing
well. Today we're going to be talking about morality, and let's open with a prayer. Alfonso, would you lead us in prayer?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Gracious God, let all things transitory seem vile in my eyes, and all things eternal to be dear to me. Let me tire of that joy which is without thee, and to desire nothing that is outside thee. Let me find joy in the labor that is for thee. And let all repose that is without thee be tiresome to me. Grant me, my God, the grace to direct my heart towards thee, and with a firm purpose of amendment, to grieve continually my failures, together with a firm purpose of amendment. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Alfonso.
Did we just go to confession? That's what that sounded like.
Maybe you need to.
Fair enough.
For our sake, I hope not, because then we'd have finally incurred one of those impediments we keep talking about.
It was bound to happen at some point on this show.
Hopefully not. I mean, so today we're going to be talking about morality. I think morality is a really important point because it's one of those things we just kind of take for granted. I think we like to say that we're moral people and, you know, we follow the moral law or we don't follow the moral law. Or I agree with the church's moral stance on this, or I disagree with the church's moral stance on that. But if there's one thing I've learned after 3 years of seminary morality classes, it's that I really didn't know what morality was until I started studying it pretty seriously. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest misconception out there is morality is about the things I do, and that's not the case at all. Morality has nothing to do with the things you do. It has everything to do with how you do them. Mm-hmm. That's the entire focus of morality. As our morality professor, Monsignor Kevin McMahon, frequently says, morality is not about what you accomplish. Morality is about how you went about accomplishing it.
Right.
So you can do wonderful, wonderful things, but if you did them in an immoral way or in a wrong way, then those things are wrong.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because once something is done immorally, everything that filters from that is immoral.
Right.
So there are a lot of principles in morality. We'll be talking about some of them, trying to have fun with them. But I think there's something that we talk about, the first principle of practical reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds like a lot, but really it's a very direct thought, and I think it's something everyone can get behind. Good is something that you should do and pursue, and anything opposite to it is to be avoided.
Mm.
So do good.
Nice Griseism there.
Yeah, it is. It is. But, I mean, essentially it's true. We should be looking for the things that are good to do and avoiding things that are not good.
Right.
That doesn't mean evil. That doesn't mean that everything that we don't do is evil, but it does mean that we should always be trying to pursue the good in everything we do.
Right.
And that's the fundamental core of morality. So when you're doing something, hopefully you have a well-formed conscience, and when you make your decision, you're saying, is this something I should be doing?
Mm-hmm.
And reflecting on that. And the good news is a lot of this happens just very quickly, but...
No, yeah, and I think one of the main points of contention with our culture is that I think everyone kind of recognizes that they want to pursue the good.
Right.
However, what that good is that it's something our culture can agree on, and it needs direction. It needs someone like the church and the faculty of reason to be able to tell, you know, to be able to tell us what is that good and what is that evil.
Yes.
With moral actions, every action, you're always acting towards some good, perceived good. Whether
perceived
or not it's actually good is kind of up to... That's where morality comes in to talk about the different things. Well, I want to go and get this candy, but... I mean, yeah, that might be a good. That might be a bad example. But going after everything you think is a good, and that's ultimately where every action... You're not willing to go after something evil.
Right. Like, for example, I'm sorry if I may. Like, for example, with maybe like something like stealing, mm-hmm. people can have different intentions for stealing, but there has to be an objective aspect of what this act is, you know, of what you're actually doing.
Right.
And certainly there are some circumstances that change, you know, the nature of the act.
Mm-hmm.
However, when someone engages in an act, they see it as that they're going to be better off after doing it, or else you won't pursue
right.
it. You have something, a motivating factor there.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what you're getting at, is mm-hmm. like you view that thing that you want to do as a good. And so
mm-hmm.
and how you go about doing that is what influences like the moral quality of the act.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we're when we talk about actions, there's three things behind every action.
Mm-hmm.
There's the circumstances in which you make the action. There's the motive, your personal reason for doing the action. And then there's the object of the action itself, which is the thing that you actually do.
Mm-hmm.
And in any of those situations, if one of those three things is defective, if it's not working right, if it's immoral, then the action is immoral.
Mm-hmm.
If your desire to go out and help orphans is motivated by a immoral desire to profit from their pain, then your action of helping them is still immoral because you're doing it with this broken motive, with mm-hmm. this wrong mm-hmm. motive. And I think that can be difficult to understand because we look at it, many people look at it, I looked at it, and say, well, how can that ever be immoral? How can it ever be immoral to do this solid good of
right.
helping these orphans?
Mm-hmm.
But if the person's only reason for doing it, mm-hmm. their whole motive behind it is to gain fortune and fame for themselves so mm-hmm. that they can pursue something that is not moral, then that is an immoral action.
Right. And with that, using that same example, even the circumstances could create an immoral, render the act to be immoral. For example, if you're going out and helping orphans, but you yourself have tons of kids and your circumstances don't allow you to provide for your children and also for these orphans, and instead you're opting out to help out the orphans, there is an injustice being done to your own children there. And so while in a certain sense you are doing a good, it's still, there's still an injustice being created to your own children.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how the circumstances can also affect the act.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the difficult things that we often run into. I'm sure you guys get moral questions on a frequent basis. I know I do. So often the object of the act itself, the thing we're trying to do, is good. We're just doing it for the wrong reasons, and we need to either not do it or we need to reorient our reasoning so that we're doing the right thing, the moral thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rare that the object of the act, the choice that we're making, the thing that we're wanting, is itself intrinsically... The church uses the word intrinsically evil, and that doesn't mean like, you know, the devil standing there with a pitchfork. We tend to get that image. It means not good.
Mm-hmm.
It means opposite of the good. So something that is not pursuing the good is evil.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So... Very rarely does the church say something is intrinsically evil, meaning it can never be used for good. More often than not, we look at these good things that we want and desire, but we go about them in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
So what the church is trying to do is it's trying to, through her moral teachings, orient us in a positive way so that we can reach the good, not because she has any vested interest in any... The church's only interest in this is for us to get to heaven,
mm-hmm.
for us to pursue God, who is the ultimate good. And it's through morality that we learn how to act in a good way.
Right.
You're listening to The Seminarian Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. I'm PJ Brandymarty from the Diocese of Columbus. Joining me are Britt Taylor and Alfonso Gomez from the Diocese of Charlotte. Alfonso, how are you?
Doing well, PJ. I just wanted to expound a little bit on a theme you were talking about in just recently. You said something about like the culture is more focused on a morality of consequences. That like
yes.
that it's very difficult for someone to see, well, if the outcome looks exactly the same, now what really does it matter about the means?
Right.
And I think what's really important for the church to continually to articulate, because she has been articulating this from the very beginning, is that moral acts, the means to achieving the end, have a real effect on the person. So, for example, you were talking about this individual who donates to certain charity based on a bad motive or a bad intention. Well, in doing so, sure, there's a good effect there. There's a good consequence. However, if he continues to do that, I'm most certain that this individual would become more self-centered, more prideful, because they're not doing it about the good for another. They're doing it for the good of themselves. So that the intention is creating almost like a sickness in the person. And that's what the church is concerned about. It's like, what does this moral act do? Because every moral act that we do has creates your moral character. So you become more virtuous or more vicious. And it's not merely about consequences. Consequences are surely a factor, but it's also through the means, there's something that happens to you on a very human level.
Right. And you were kind of hitting at the intention again. And another thing to look at, Catholic moral teaching can basically be summarized with another way of saying the ends don't justify the means. So it's not just the intention of I'm donating this money to gain fame and fortune, or not fortune if you're donating money, but right. to gain fame or notoriety or some sort of good feeling, but also how you achieve these things. So you're looking at something that's objectively evil, like, I don't know, an abortion mill. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to bomb this abortion mill, and it's going to stop them from doing that.
Right.
And because that abortion mill is no longer there, I've done a good.
Mm-hmm.
But the means of how you achieve that, which is what you were talking about,
sure.
hinting at, it doesn't matter if you're ending this, if you're yourself are creating another moral evil.
Mm-hmm.
Two wrongs don't cancel or don't make a right.
Right.
You can't just go out and do whatever you want just to kind of end this, what you perceive as an evil, mm-hmm. by committing sometimes even a greater evil.
Right. Yeah. The church is not concerned about like a math game, you know, tallying up moral points.
Yeah.
What we're concerned about is what do moral acts do to the human person?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think, you know, when you look at Augustine, when you look at the church fathers, when you look at Bonaventure and Aquinas,
I'm so proud of you.
I'm surprised it took you this long to drag the fathers into this.
This is my ecumenical bone. But when you look at what they say about morality, they always start at an anthropologic level, that is the study of the human person.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, what we know about the human person, we can see what acts are compatible with human nature and what acts are harmful to human nature. And that's precisely what morality is about. It's not about doing more good in the world.
Or even a set of laws that restrict you of what you can and can't do.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the legalism is one of our biggest problems. And I think we talked about this in our confession show, is we as Americans we love law. I mean,
mm-hmm.
turn on the TV and try to not find some show about the law.
Sure.
At any point of the day.
Mm-hmm.
We just love it. It's built into our DNA. We're a society built on the rule of law. So as Catholics who are Americans, growing up in this culture, we automatically assume, oh, okay, well, the moral law of the church, and it doesn't help that these are the words we use, the moral law of the church is just another law. And just like with any law, I need to uphold it to a point,
mm-hmm.
Which is why you get the constant conversation. Every wedding I've ever been at, and priests will tell you the same thing. Hey, Father, does this mean I don't got to go come to church tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Have I fulfilled my obligation?
Right. Which is going to happen this year with Christmas being on Monday
fourth
Sunday of Advent.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to ask my pastor, Father Sill, how we're going to work that one out. But it's true. It's and I'm as guilty of it as anyone else.
Sure.
I mean, because we do have obligations. Mm-hmm. So our natural response to an obligation is, what do I need to do to fulfill it?
Mm-hmm.
And the logical next step is, how little do I need to do to fulfill it?
That's right. What do I get that check mark for? Participation points.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so people, I was talking to somebody a couple weekends ago. They said, so at what point do I, you know, am I too late to be late for Mass?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I mean, I can't really answer that question because
it defeats the purpose.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, personally, well, I'm not going to give you my personal opinion, but
was that a seminarian asking this question by chance?
It was not, thankfully.
Wow.
But I mean, that's exactly what Jesus is trying to correct with the Pharisees.
No, you know, absolutely.
The Pharisees are so concerned with keeping the letter of the law, but in reality, on the inside, they're, I mean, it's not, they haven't interiorized it. It's not integral to them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, my response to people when they ask about, like, the, is it immorally missing Mass? At what point am I missing it? Like I said, you're missing it when you're asking this question, because that mm-hmm. means you don't really want to go.
Right.
It means you're doing it just to fulfill a checkbox. And Jesus is not calling any of us to fulfill a checkbox. He's calling us to a relationship with him, because he is in relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and he desires strongly for us to be in relationship with them as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point of the Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
And
ultimately, that's going to lead you to your fulfillment, which what you were just saying with the Trinity. We are modeled after the Trinity, made in his likeness and image, basically means that we are relational beings, that we are called to be in communion and interact with other people. And that's where morality really comes in.
Right.
Because it organizes those relationships and those actions and interactions with these different people mm-hmm. in their proper way. It's mm-hmm. you're no longer going about these things in a way that's harmful to mm-hmm. both you and the party that you're interacting with. You're doing it as a way that's ultimately going to bring you closer to God. And that's what Catholic morality is about.
Yeah.
As PJ was saying, it's not this checkbox with, oh, well, I went to Mass that one Sunday and I received communion once that year. And I also went to confession during Easter. So I've got all my checkbox off. I'm a good Catholic this year. I'll see you in 2018, 2019, 2020, whatever year you want. But it's more about developing this relationship, which is what the church is established for. Because Jesus knew that he was going to need some sort, he couldn't stay here forever, so he needed some sort of his interaction in the world, and that's where the church was born out of his side on the cross, so that we could have this continuing relationship with him throughout eternity until whenever the end times come.
Right.
All right.
And you know, I think something we've been mentioning is just this infection in our culture, in our Catholic culture, of a view of morality on the basis of obligation,
mm-hmm.
when in reality, this is something that's foreign to Catholic morality. Because, again, if we look at the church fathers and the tradition of the church, Augustine, all these great men always connected morality with happiness. And it's not just themselves. It's Jesus Christ himself who connects morality with happiness. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are those who do this, blessed are those who do that. He's creating a moral standard, and the word blessedness, the Greek word that comes from that is makarios, and that word literally means happiness. So there's many translations of the scripture that says happy are those who do this and happy are those who do that.
Right.
And so there's an intrinsic connection between happiness and morality, that morality is the means to attain fulfillment and happiness. And it's not just this, you know, outer, you know, chain that enslaves us.
I think about the people that I know who are the happiest,
mm-hmm.
and they're the people who are following the moral law.
Right.
True happiness.
Yeah, true. Like, mm-hmm. true joy. I like to, mm-hmm. I always split, mm-hmm. I try and my best to split happiness, which is a fleeting emotion that comes and goes, with joy, mm-hmm. which is what the gospel tells us that we will have.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the people who are keeping this moral law who are truly happy.
Mm-hmm.
So, PJ, you were talking about, you realize that the change in morality, that it's not just these check boxes. So what was a kind of a turning point in your life other than, so not everyone can afford to take 3 years of morality classes like we can at the seminary. So when did you really interiorized that morality is more about the fulfillment. And how did you go beyond that? I've got to receive communion once a year. I've got to go to confession once a year and sometimes go to Mass on Sunday. What was that like for you?
That really happened. I guess that happened when I started to take the faith seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And that came about when I was the last couple years of my working life before I started seminary. It came about because I actually started going back to church.
Mm-hmm.
Something made me want to go. And not just go to go, but go to take it seriously. To seriously investigate the question of who is God, who is Jesus, and what does that have? Does that have anything to do with my life? And if so, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to find that out is to go to church. It's like so many things in life. The only way to know what an experience is in store for you is to actually experience it. And that's really what drew me to it. There is one thing about morality that I really want to hit on, and I think that we tend to get it confused. The church, we often, I think that morality and sin are the same thing. Hmm. And one thing I've really picked up in looking at morality is that the church is not telling people that they're sinning. The church is telling people that what they're doing is immoral. And we can make moral judgments, but we can't really make sinful judgments. That's for the person's conscience.
You're saying we as the church can't?
Or individuals on themselves.
Individuals. Okay. We can look at somebody's actions and mm-hmm. say they're immoral, but it's hard to say that they're sinful because mm-hmm. sin is something that you really need to deal with your confessor.
Right.
Sin has a lot more pieces to it. For something, mm-hmm. for example, a mortal sin, it has to be a serious issue. You have to be free to do it, mm-hmm. and then you have to be willingly choose to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that what you've done isn't immoral.
Right.
Like we said, morality is about the ideal.
Mm-hmm.
So when the church says something is immoral, it's not saying that everybody who's ever done it is in sin and they're going to burn in hell for all eternity. That's not at all what the church is saying. What the church is trying to do is give you guidance so that you can reach that happiness, because this thing is immoral and it's not going to lead you to happiness.
Mm-hmm. It's not the church's place to condemn people to hell. Ultimately, that judgment lies with God. And
absolutely, yeah.
It's not the church's, and if you have any priest, I mean, who's saying you're going to hell for doing that, I mean,
kindly correct.
Yeah, it's not our place. They're trying to guide you in a way that you are living out the moral life, but it's not anyone's place to say, well, if you do that, you're going to hell and you're going to burn and
right.
all that. We are sinners in the hand of an angry God. We can't know, because ultimately that last judgment lies with God alone, and we can't know what he's thinking in that.
Unless we're Jansenists.
This is true.
And there's a balance in the sense of judgment, because if you go too far to the extreme, you begin to chant what the culture says, like, you know, you can't judge me. You know, only God can judge me, or whatever.
That's right.
That kind of notion.
That's my motto.
Well, it's true, and it's a distorted truth.
Right, but one can judge by the basis to say that you have the right to truth, you mm-hmm. have the right to do good, and I can judge and say that is not good for you, and you have the right to actually pursue this good. And in a certain sense, charity and justice would want that individual to pursue that good that they're made for, if that makes sense.
So oppressive of you to tell me what I should and should be doing.
Gosh.
But we
follow street signs. It's like, you know, that's it's for our own good.
Sometimes. I don't come... This is a disclaimer for any formators listening. I do come to a complete stop at the Josephinum, but yeah, no.
What about U-turns in Ohio?
No, this is why
a different rule. That's yeah.
The listeners need to know that the guys from North Carolina are not driving. I do all the driving to and from the radio station.
That's right.
But I think it's really important, and something that we really need to focus on with morality mm-hmm. is that the church has every right, and not just a right, but a duty to tell us things are immoral mm-hmm. or things are moral.
Just like a mother.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's painful, but the church doesn't really have a choice because it's, believe me, it's not fun for any priest or for anybody to tell somebody that the way they're living their life is immoral and they should change.
Right.
That's not an experience that anybody seeks out. As our moral theology professor says, we don't say that arsenic is bad for you because it's fun for me to say it's bad for you. We say it's bad for you because if you drink it, you're going to kill yourself. And that's exactly what immoral actions do. It kills the life of grace within you.
Exactly.
And people always want the church to change your teachings. Mm-hmm. And once again, as Monsignor McMahon would say, well, I can put any label I want on the arsenic bottle and tell you that it's great for you and it's got antioxidants and electrolytes and anything else. But that does not change the fact that if you do it, it will kill you. Mm-hmm. And it will kill the life of grace inside of you. And that's why the church's teachings can't change.
So if we could probably end on some practical things, like how do you live out the life of grace?
Absolutely.
So I think, you know, what you do is you learn to do learn what is that good for humanity, for the human person. Begin small by making those intentional habits and relying on grace, the sacraments, confession to
build up that virtue,
to be transformed, build up that virtue, and know that all that is to attain true happiness with God in this life and in the next. So,
indeed. Britt, will you close us in prayer?
Gladly. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the gift of your church as she guides us to ultimately bring us to our fulfillment, which lies in you and you alone. We ask you that you always guide us with your Holy Spirit so that we may know you and come to love and serve you better each and every day. We ask this as all things through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Brothers, thank you very much. And I'd like to thank everybody out there for joining us today for today's Seminarian show. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. Thank you very much for joining us. May God richly bless you.
The Seminarians is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Seminarians and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.